putting sparkling water there.
No, that's sparkling. A little bit on the...
Well, well, well. We will continue translating today. Don't forget the vocab quiz tomorrow. And after the quiz, we'll probably just start doing some review on 53, 54, 55 for the grammar quiz next week. We have no news to report other than frustration in trying to figure out what these little codes are at the bottom. And we've done that. Several of us were working on it in the grad library there, and checking every source we could find in our library and so forth, and so far nothing is really... The closest thing we've got is the Biblia Hebraica Stucartensia. It's got a little key there for certain numbers of them, but they apparently are abbreviations for phrases in Hebrew that describe grammatical things about where the thing is. In other words, we found some where it was a psalmic with a double slash and a pay meant sof pasuk, end of a sentence. And another one with a name, I think it was the beginning of a sentence, and a few things like that. It may be the word for sentence. It may be, you know, it may mean literally end of a sentence.
Because if it did, then maybe the sof aleph would be like afnat, in other words, the middle or of the vocalization of the sentence or something like that.
Mm-hmm. See? There may be something, see, just looking at that, oh, yes. Okay. Just looking at that list, that little on the blue sheet there, that list it's got everything in German there, but the German seems to correspond to the Hebrew. In other words, it says word end, you know, on some of the ones that I know the Hebrew word and the German word, which aren't very many of them, I know both of them, they seem to correspond. So that's why I say maybe sof is either sentence or, no, it might be... It might be end, too. It might be the end of something.
End of Aleph?
I don't know.
But that would make sense, too.
I don't know if you're on the Biblical Day break, maybe we're talking about the pronunciation of Bereshit.
Yes.
Apparently, Oregon, the church father, compiled things. So it says here in the Greek letter, Bereshit, or
Barashit,
and the Samaritans have Barashit.
Mm-hmm.
You know that
Sof
is probably from stoop, which means to come to an end or
okay.
Cease or to perish.
Okay, that's it. Because the other one, see, had a name that was beginning of the sentence, beginning of the name. I can't remember which one it was. It was a name slash thing. So that's probably it. So Pasuk is probably the sentence. And so Pasuk could be end of sentence. Pasuk could be something similar to that. You can find the spelling of it, Doug. Eric, do you grab that little blue sheet in there. Oh, you have it. Well, okay. Just say
wow.
It's been a very interesting challenge. We've got Berit Mitha. Okay, that's the main pasuk. We've got Masa pasuk. It's the middle of the sentence. And the end was...
Oh, you're involved, Doug.
Yeah, Doug, you got it going.
Trying to delay the exams by 2 weeks.
Maybe it's supposed to do that word. Discussing grammar and so forth.
I'm
not going to be able to do it. No, that's word is
kid, or stop eating your
okay. Rosh Pasu, excuse me, means first beginning. There's Anpan. So we at least we've got some of those. We've got,
so it must somehow mean first.
Yeah, it must be in the verse somehow. Because everything else lines up. We're using Pasu for middle, beginning,
and
end.
Pasu is the end.
Yeah, Rosh Pasu, then you got yeah. The middle of Masa Pasu, and then
so it's a good verse. So, end.
So that's what we're looking at anyway. We've got some.
My fit with end, if the Aleph is the Atna, you know, end of the, or, you know, in other words, indicating this is where the, well, was the end. The Atnach was like a middle pause.
Yeah, it was a middle pause. It was a middle pause.
Or maybe the Aleph could refer to the first phrase of it.
Yeah, the Aleph may be a number. It may be something having to do, because we saw some of them, Tony and I found some of them later on that corresponded to some of the little things that they corresponded to the number of the chapter. So there's some of that going on too, but we just don't know where to draw the line and put it all together. You know, obviously you need to know more to really be able to fit this together. For example, on the bottom, if you've got Snaith, on the bottom of page 3 there, under chapter 2, Genesis, you've got a Beth with a slash in verse 4, and a Hay with a slash, and you know, the word there.
Chapter 2, verse 4.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. See, because this is, Beth is chapter 2. If you look up in chapter 2, it's Beth there. And then chapter 2, verse 4, and that's where a variant is.
Interesting
though, they've got hate slash. I know that one I can't tell you. Now I thought of it maybe fifth word, because this is the one that they got the little circle over is the fifth word in the sentence. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, that's the only thing I could think of. But it seems like I checked some other ones and that didn't really bear out. But you see, if this be a variant, the word is completely different. It's a completely different word. Let's see, chapter 2, verse 4. One other thing, too, that we did find out. Notice these pays that are stuck out in the middle of the line, you know, at the end of a paragraph, and there's a pay there.
Yeah.
Some of them have a somic, too. Later on, we'll run into some that have somic there. The pay and the somic are used to mark an open paragraph division versus a closed paragraph division. By that, they mean if it's an open paragraph division, the paragraph stops, the line stops, and it's all blank until you start the next line. If it's a closed one, then you'll just have a little bit of a space there with a somic, and then it'll continue on the same line. And apparently, from what I've read, it's just indicating that there was more of a conceptual division if you have a big space there with the pay. That kind of really breaks up the thought pattern more. Yes, kind of like indentation for us.
On this one, on 2, who's got an intermediate?
I've got one here. What verse are we looking at?
Verse 4. Okay, we've got a hay. Now the verse that it's over, do you notice the circle is over that miniature hay?
Yes.
And maybe it's trying to tell us that you insert this at that point or something.
Oh, you know what? I found one place where they said they had an aleph and a slash. It was one, but the only statement I found that meant anything. It said aleph missing. And what we might have here is that they're claiming they think that there's a hay missing there, and they put it back in. Something along those lines.
But what is it? Does it have the same text in here? What does he have?
Okay, let's see what we've got here. These are the generations of the heavens. Yeah, they've got the interlinear's got the small aleph there too, and they've got a little asterisk above it.
Small hay.
But no, they have small hay. When they were created, in their creation, you see. It's from Bara. This would probably be, which I guess it has to do with whether it's a hifil or not. If you leave the hay out, it wouldn't be a hifil verb. We're on chapter 2, verse 4.
But see, there's a word following its name, though. It's Zion.
Bayon.
Zion, Ayin, Yod.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't show up here at all. And let's see, what would it mean? I'm not sure. Have to maybe look it up and find out if it has any relevance meaning-wise.
Well,
see, when they were created, this would be fine.
Is they who cut the Mayan astrologers. If you just take that
No, you're saying it was a good verse.
Yeah, if you put the hay in there, the only thing I can make out is it would be a hifio verb if you did that. Cause to create, but I don't know, you know, that may be the question. It may not, that verb may not appear, so they kind of put the hay small there. And in other words, what it may have been is the hay was in the text, but they're suspicious of it, so they make it smaller. Okay, in the Biblia Hebraica, the hay is big, full size?
Yeah.
Okay.
The
hay by round.
And they represent the Ben Asher. The Ben Asher is earlier, and they said when they went to print this edition that they just got it, so they went through and they made the change.
No, that's possible. That's possible. They may have had some doubt before about it before, and then later confirmed it.
Then it says a footnote there for past that. With all the hay.
Okay.
Did you give an apparatus for it?
No.
Well, so it looks like we just got some variant readings there. Okay. Well, we'll just kind of keep our eye on that. And if anybody runs into anything relevant, we've got some other sources to check. And if anybody's in the library, if anybody feels inspired to call a Jewish rabbi or something, and go visit the synagogue and see if you can find out the full system here.
I wonder if this, that after the hay there, that little word,
the ira, probably, something like that.
It appears it comes from possibly a root za'ar, meaning to be little. So, hay, little.
Hay, little.
Hay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Rather strange.
Yeah, it looks like we've got some real strange comments down here. So what we've got, and there's an abbreviation system that they've set up for these that baffles the Western mind here. I think if we had the complete code of these, I think we'd probably start making some sense out of it. They certainly don't seem to be very free to share it, most of the books. They'll tell you, you know, a little bit, but just not enough. It was so frustrating. We looked at book after book after book, and they all had something about it, but it was never, nobody ever sat down and said, here's what the symbols are, and here's what they mean, and this is how you can tell what's going on. So
they just generally say this is comments
that
the rabbi.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they would say that, you know, the Masorah and the various comments that the Masoretics made and that type of thing, and then they would put it in the footnotes and this and that. And then from that thing in Biblia Hebraica, they've got the chart of those, at least some of those, where we can start making some sense out of them. We'll see, it all started wondering what those two slash marks are all about. And it looks like they're just abbreviation. I mean, they just fit, indicate that these are an abbreviation system. And that these are certain grammatical key phrases, you know, that have to do with whether it's where the punctuation is or, you know, something along those lines. And there's a whole variety of them. It's not a matter of just seeing that dash means the same thing everywhere. You know, we were trying to find some consistent meaning for it. And the only consistent meaning is that it's an abbreviation. That's apparently what we've come up with, at least. Okay, well, let's get back to translating, get back to something we can handle, yeah. I'm sure glad we don't have to teach all the details of all these accents and all the rest, you know. We've got enough to learn. Yeah, right. You really have to devote yourself to this stuff to really be able to deal with the manuscripts. Okay, we left off with verse 18, I think. I don't know if we actually got through it or not. Yeah, he separated between the dark. I think we did get through that. The evening and the morning was a... Well, verse 19.
Yeah.
Didn't somebody read that?
It was just,
okay. Okay, fine. Let's go start with verse 20 then.
I got you. It's not one thing.
Okay.
Where is it? On Genesis
1:1. Mm-hmm.
And this little note. It comes from that word for shooting arrows.
Hmm. The one on verse 1,
yeah.
After the base slash? Okay. It's probably a grammatical note then, of some sort.
Teaching. Well, see, it meant teaching, though.
Yeah.
See,
Paul,
you know that in Rabbah, you meant to teach.
Yeah, from Rabbi and everything. Yeah. Well?
Yeah.
I don't know if that helps us or hurts us. In other words, I think sometimes one of the things that may be the case is we're not, when we see a word following all those little cryptic symbols, we aren't necessarily looking at the alternate word that goes in there, but maybe a statement about, some kind of a change, you know, a commentary that something's missing or this or that. Or, in other words, it may be a grammatical note itself.
The other one down on page 2, down the bottom, we found a little difference in the emphasis on the word. Where it ties into verse 18.
Yeah, different kind of an accent was the only difference.
It's a heavier accent. And it's
on Le Havdil there, just, you know, one of them's got a stronger accent above it than the other. Ula Havdil. Okay. Yeah, Ula Havdil or Ula Havdil.
Okay.
No, it isn't. So I think we can be pretty safe with that. And having decided that, we probably better be satisfied for now. unless we want to spend the rest of the semester doing this. Okay, verse 20. John?
We figured out all the abbreviations.
Yeah, right.
Right. Dear John, would it be all right?
Yeah.
Precious brother.
Yeah. Pray for him.
Why you over Elohim? I don't know. Who said the other
time? John can go ahead.
Elohim.
We'll let him start today. Just somebody speak Hebrew.
Yeah.
We're on verse 20. But we did finish verse 19.
Why over Elohim? Yis Ritsu Hamayim Sheret Nefesh Haya No Haya.
Okay.
And God said, Sharat. I don't know what Sharat is.
Okay, it's kind of a swarm. It's the idea of swarming. It's a verb idea, and then you have the charates following it, so you get this kind of redundant swarm of swarms
let
type of thing.
Okay, so it would be let the heavens swarm with swarms.
Or the waters, yeah. The waters swarm with swarms.
The waters, excuse me.
Yeah.
The waters swarm with swarms of living souls. Or
yeah, something like that.
Life
swarms having life or something.
Swarms of soul life.
Yeah, living. Yeah, probably souls living out. It's singular, so it's kind of funny, you know.
Soul.
So I think they have the margin here. And God said, let the waters swarm with the swarmers having soul of life, or, you know. In other words, they put the whole thing in construct.
Yeah.
Swarmers of a soul of life, you know.
And this must be a verb form of
yes.
Fowl.
Well, let's see. First oaf is the verb, is the noun, and then oaf is the verb.
Fowling.
Yeah, let the fowls foul, you know. You know, they translate it as let the birds fly over the earth.
Yeah.
Apparently the verb is from the idea of flying, and so birds are flyers, so let the flyers fly, something like that.
Over the earth or above the earth,
mm-hmm.
on the earth, over the face of the firmament,
mm-hmm.
Of heaven.
Right. Okay, over the face of, or upon the face of the firmament of the heaven. Of the heaven.
I guess that would really be picturesque. They really are the firmament of heaven. They're on the face of the word.
Yeah, that's the way it would look to us, you know.
Mm-hmm. Two-dimensional.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions there? It's just an interesting verb-noun combinations. And I don't think we can improve on the translations that others have done here. They've all got a certain awkwardness here in English. Okay. And verse 21, Tony.
Well,
it's kind of long, isn't it? Okay.
I was assuming we were
going to
start with Eric
sometime. All right. You can't assume anything in this class.
I should have used Doug's extra time there.
What really throw you guys off is if I brought in a random machine with five balls and it was a number on, you know, and each turn I just picked one at random and threw it back in afterwards. I won't do it for you. I won't do it.
Vayikra Elohim et Hataninim.
You said pretty close.
I'm sure.
Yeah, Hataninim.
Hatadolim.
Hataninim.
Et kol nefesh.
Shartzu. Laminehem. Said after the kind again. Just yell when you need vocab. Every word.
Yeah. Well, they said my brother will take my heavy burdens, so I'm sure. And God created the...
You might translate this sea monsters, something like that. Tanin. Yeah, it's Tanin, and some of them translate it whales. So forth, but the Hebrew word seems to be referring to a long stretched, long extended creature. Yeah.
That's Loch Ness.
Yeah, I mean that's really what it seems to be describing.
Created a lot of great lives. He's still running around causing problems.
Right.
Proof.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, you'll love
it. Yeah, they will.
And.
No, nefesh should be soul. Soul living, and then chaya. It's in construct here. Every soul of life or soul of living. So living soul. Every living soul. And now you've got the creeping part. Comes afterwards. Every living soul, and then an adjective modifying. Creeping. Every creeping living soul. So God created the great sea monsters and all that creeps. Having living soul, you know. All living creeps, I guess, I don't know. All the creeping things having living soul is the idea. So it's kind of interesting, the emphasis there, that it's the living soul, yeah, and that creeps. Right, it is. Mm-hmm. It's all particularized. Although the coal there, you know, kind of sets the tenor of it. And every you know, living soul that creeps. Okay, and then which? So that swarm again.
Swarm, yeah. The waters.
According to their kind, after their kind. So which the waters swarmed after their kind. That's kind of the idea. Because the waters would have to be the subject because there's no eth on it. So the asher is referring to the object then. So it's God created all these things, which the waters swarmed after their kind. Okay. See, Ulf is bird, and then Kanaf means wing. So every bird with wing is kind of the way they translate it. You really don't have a with in there, but Kol, Ulf, Kanaf, you know, every bird is a wing. Every winged bird. Of course, there aren't any non-winged birds.
Is it bird of wing?
Hmm? Well, it's kind of hard to tell because it wouldn't shorten.
Isn't
and
the idea of overspreading?
Hmm?
And that's the idea of spreading out as in the wing spreading out.
Okay.
It's the same word used, interestingly enough, in Daniel 9:27 for the overspreading of abomination. Mm. It says for the wing of abomination.
Huh. That's for Kanaf now you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Okay. But Kanaf is used all the time in the sense of a wing, you know. When you talk about the... Huh? No, that's canard. That's French for duck. Yeah. I don't know where they came up with that, but whatever. Okay. At least you got a kind of a cognate there. This was a try. I hope you remember it. To be honest, I remember this word wing that way. Anyway. Okay, every bird with wing.
According to its kind.
According to its kind, yeah.
And God saw it was good.
Yes, and God saw that it was good. Vayar Elohim ki tov. Okay, that's these nice phrases that we come back to. Home. All right, verse 22, Eric. Okay.
God said to them, saying,
mm-hmm.
Be fruitful.
Right.
Or be fruity.
Yeah. Be fruitful. Someone will take it, I suppose, in the context.
And,
I think much learning is making us mad here.
And be increasing.
Yes, be multiplying, be increasing. Yeah, be being many, something like that. So maybe making a verb out of the idea of rab, meaning many. And then, of course, peri. Remember, we had peri for fruit. So this is a verb built from that. So be fruitful and be many and
fill.
Mm-hmm.
The water of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And the fowl.
them. Yeah, let them multiply. You've got this adjusive form here, so you've got a new kind of a new state. You've got a disjunctive phrase, a disjunctive clause, because you've got the what and something, something nonverbal. So, you know, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and be many, and fill the waters and the seas and the fowl or the birds. Let them multiply the earth, upon the earth. Yeah, you got your verb following there, and it's from that same thing, but it's just adjusted form.
Was that Rambam?
It might be a geminate. I'm not sure what the root is on that. I've forgotten. As far as the verb,
we
might have. Could very well be. Either that or a three hey, because it's just a form, it's apocopated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Doug?
I was asking this for you, Ryan. I hope this is kind of a tangent.
Okay, well, we'll we'll see here.
Now, faith there was very living, very soul living.
Right.
The living and breathing. For some reason, there's a big vertical line.
I'm sure it's another pause type of marker. So one of those like Athnach or something. There's a number of those, of various shapes and forms, and I'm sure that's what it is.
The root was Rabah
3 Hay. Rabah 3 Hay. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Yes, there'd be lots of, you know, in fact, Lambden mentioned that, you know, he was only going to talk about Sof Pasuk and Athnach, but there's a number of other ones too, and I'm sure that's one of them. I don't, now that Biblia Breaka may label it and tell you what it is, that vertical line coming, you know, separating living that creeps, you see. There's some kind of a pause there. It may not be a real strong pause like some of the others where the whole sentence is being set up, but it'd be kind of interesting to see. All they'll probably find is a name for it, and once you got a name for it, doesn't mean you have any idea what it means.
What we have here is an appositional structure too. So
well, that could be too. It's a possibility.
That might be why you would have a pause.
Yeah, there is. You can either consider this as, it depends on whether you take those things as substantives or not. If you take them as substantives, then you probably can have an easy appositional construction there. But as far as what the detailed significance of that is, that's one of those many marks that we just don't pay any attention to. Most of the books don't pay any attention to. One of the books probably we've got probably has a statement about it, but it's anything they state about the function of it is probably conjectural anyway.
Might have both
had
an asterisk and a little circle.
Okay, well,
there's...
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're finding that these books are not consistent one among another the way they're doing this. So, he may be using the circle as a different symbol than the other. You know, one of them may be using it as an accent, type of an accent. That's on a share?
Yeah,
you're looking at verse which, 21? Okay, that symbol is mentioned in. Let me check my text. I got to look at the right text too.
That's
yeah, that one is an accent, I think, because if you at least it's recorded in Biblia Breaka as an accent mark. One of the, you know, they've got that one, and then they've got another one with two little circles. Like it's two balloons tied together with a string the kid's holding, you know. It's really what it looks like. So, and I don't know that, you know, they give a name for each one of those, and they put them under the heading of accents. Yes, the circle with no line on it was the one we were looking at as far as possibly as the indicator of a variant or the note. And it seems to be fairly consistent, not that it's not used for something else too, but that's what we seem to be seeing over and over again.
There's that one impact that comes at the end of the words, you can see all the answer. The end of the words are, here's one, you look down on verse 30, on Ha'ar, it's there, it goes the opposite direction, but it's on the beginning of the word.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you look in verse 29 on Kine, it's at the end of the word, it goes the other direction. Verse 25 in Elohim, it goes the other direction. It's on the end of the word, so
mm-hmm.
some kind of an accent.
Yeah, some kind of stress, some kind of musical tone or something. Can you imagine anybody having to learn all of these and read the text and get the pronunciation accordingly? It would be interesting to talk to some Jews, you know, some rabbis and others to see what they, because they are very melodic. If you ever hear them read the text and so forth, it's almost like they're singing it. And I don't know whether they're doing that because they've got some basis from the way they've coded this thing or whether they're just inventing their own stresses and so forth. Well, that's about all we can say. I wish there were books that really gave this kind of information. We're having a hard time finding it. So apparently Christians haven't been interested in it up to this point. Anybody who can master Hebrew vowel points usually figures that's enough for one life. You know? Yes, yeah. Now, all these little lines and accents and so forth, you'll find pretty standard Masoretic notations. And there are a lot of them, as you can see. Lots of variations on them. Most of the books don't even attempt to deal with it at all. All right, verse 23 then, and who's up next? Right.
Vayehi, Erev, Vayehi, Boker, Yom, Ashmai.
Hamishi. Hamishi. Okay.
And it was evening and it was morning, day 4.
Okay, day 5. Oh well. Nobody's perfect. Yeah, Ravi is for. Okay. Doug, verse 24. Mm-hmm. Chaya. Lamina. Remus, yeah, well, Remus. It's still a kind of awkward wording for us, but let the earth bring forth a living soul after its kind, after her kind, you know, referring to the soul. So let the earth bring forth a living soul after her kind, and then it goes on to describe the kind of living soul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, creeper or creeping thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You might just translate this beast or living thing of the earth, kind of beast of the earth, living thing of the earth. Then we got Liminah again, that's after her kind, referring back to the beast or to the living thing. So let's see. Yeah, in its beast. This Hayatho is it's referring back to. Well, it could be back to the earth again. I don't know, it would be masculine. Mm-hmm. Soul, after its kind. That's feminine. And. Oh, beast of the earth. It's just in construct. Yeah, beast of the earth.
Living.
Yeah. Yeah, living thing of the earth, I suppose. It's living thing of the earth. So let bring forth the earth. It would be, again, referring back to Haaretz, I suppose, but that should be feminine. No, wait, that is feminine, so. Okay. Yeah. Is that right? Haaretz. Okay. So a living thing of the earth after its kind, and it was so. Yeah, whatever it is, it was so. Yeah. Okay. Verse 25, then back to John.
Vayas Elohim et Chaya Ha'art Lemina Wa et Ha'bhema Lemina Wa et Kol Remes Ha'adma Lemina Luminehu Vayar Elohim Kito. And God made the living things of the earth after their kind. And
you can put that all in singular, technically, because you know God made the living thing of the earth after its kind. But
time, yeah. And the beast or the behemoth after its kind, and all the creeping things creeping upon the earth after their kind. And God saw that it was good.
Okay, good. Yeah, and again, it's just, they're all singulars, but they've got a plural sense to them, you know, because of the coal.
Except, I see the remnants.
Remnants is still singular, technically, and then, you know, every creeping thing of the ground after it, that Ahu is, remember, the old singular thing, so it refers still singular, after its kind, technically, but, and God saw that it was good. Well, it's not really switching number-wise.
No, you've got between. Oh, that's right. It's not that.
Because you have a different ending, but that's because it was feminine and antecedent.
That's right.
Okay. 26, Tony.
I did 27.
I read 26. Oh, okay. That's all right.
Halfway in the middle of 26, trying to figure some pieces out. So probably have to.
Sure, that's all right. Okay. Verse 26.
God said,
Kidmuthenu. Sometimes it's hard to read it, you know, it depends on your text there, but it should be a bait.
Yeah,
Uva Behema.
I was thinking if the bait should be signed. Not in the shawl should be signed.
Yeah, it's because it's a. There's a prophet before it, and that's going to close the previous syllable, and then this is going to start the next one. So it's got to be vocal. And you got the doubling there too. Okay.
God said, let us make man in our image, as our likeness. Let them go down.
Let's see. They've got to let them rule or have dominion. It's probably based on that Yarad, though.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, you know, let them kind of dominate over, push the other down, maybe. Might be interesting to check that verb and see what the derivation point is. That's what I'm wondering, if it's a hifil cause to go down or a PL or something. With a resh there, it's not going to take a doubling. It may just be rada or something like that, too.
And all the creeping things
upon the earth. Yeah, all the creepers which creep on the earth or something. All the creeping creepers. Okay. All the creeping creepers on the earth. Yeah, the fish is dog there. Dagas, the dagas.
Yeah. Mexican has for your rod, it says, the great variety of exceptions. They give make, spin, bring down, cast down, use, and the whole fall. Subdued is whole fall and brought down.
Okay. Are we calling this a whole fall then? And subduing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's look at some time. So verse 27, Tony.
Vayivra Elohim Et Adam Batelemo Et Salam Elohim Bara Oto Zakar Vanegeva Bara Opa.
Okay, good. Created. No, this is from Barak. Got to get that one right.
Crossed it out after I wrote it.
We had Na'aseh the previous one, so he said made in verse 26 and created verse 27. You can see those contrasts. By the way, well, yeah, I'll say it afterwards.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, God created a man in His image.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a little redundant.
In Elohim's image, created he, and I put a young man. And I think that's what the car means.
Oh, that means male. Yeah, the also is the object, though. Created he him. And then Zakar, male, with Nekeva. Nekeva is female. Male and female.
Created he then.
Male and female created him. You notice here, just, you know, while we've got you over the barrel here looking at Hebrew, this is what I would like to be able to do with everybody in the Unfolding Rev class, is to notice right from the Hebrew the parallelisms and lack of parallelisms. Because in verse 26, you've got the plural form, na'aseh. Now, that's an imperfect plural form, your nun prefix, you know, first person plural for the imperfect. So it's definitely let us make man. And it's the verb asah, where we have verb bara in verse 27. And notice the object, Wayomer Elohim na'aseh Adam. There's no article on Adam in verse 26. Verse 27, it's quite apparent. You know, it's obvious that the switch has been made. So you've got Wayibra Elohim et ha'adam, and you've got the direct the article on Adam there. So the first one's more general, God let us make man, and the second one is God created the man. And it's pointed to a more specific initial application. Quite interesting. Okay, any other comments or observations there, verses 26, 27? All right, verse 28. Price.
Vayibarek Otan Elohim Vayomer Lahim Elohim Haru Vay U Rahu U Rahu Es Haaret Wa Kiva Shua Shuha Shua U Rahu
Did
Urdu, yeah, Urdu.
Payam Uba O Pashamayam Uba Kal Kaya Paro Meshet Al Haaret.
Okay.
And God spoke to them.
Okay, this is to bless though.
No,
for Barak to bless. Yeah, God bless them.
And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and rule the earth.
Okay, just this is just fill.
Fill.
And fill the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fill the earth. And
this one means to, they translate subdue. I haven't, I'm not familiar with it, but.
And subdue and
rule. And rule again. That's that thing, that yaraz again. It's imperative. Huh? I'm not sure. We have to check that one. Yeah, Yeshua. It's a. They just give it as translated as subdue here. I think you can assume the kaf is a part of the stem then.
I
look at kavash and then. Yeah, you better check it. Check it in the analytical first just to see, break it all down. Okay, go ahead.
Well, physic God. Dog is fish. I can't put that fish.
Right.
Can you fish?
Yeah, rule over the fish.
Rule over the fish. Okay,
that makes sense.
Rule over the fish.
Creeping. This is a participle here, so the beasts which are creeping, the beasts creeping upon the earth. Okay, did you find it there, Eric?
Yes.
It's like a real interesting one.
Calling passive,
call imperative.
The suffix
Okay, we've got an object suffix on it. That's the problem.
Subdue it, the earth.
Right, subdue it. Okay, that's where your suffix is coming from. And it's from Kavash? Okay. Yeah, and your suffix is plural.
For
that other one? It's not from your
other? It's from Rada.
Okay, I was wondering about that too. But
and even in the analytical, they listed it as coming from Yarot or Rada at first, but if I go to a different ending, I can see that it's
strange
to follow.
What's Rada?
Rada is to rule, to reign.
Hmm.
I haven't looked at the analytical notes.
That's interesting.
So
you can see the problem there. If you have a one yod or a three hey, you know, they're both going to get apocryphated and have all these complications. So the vowel points are probably going to be the only thing that's going to tell the difference. That's why they may even have some justifiable.
That's why I was looking for here. You're raising it. There was nothing, and there was only one
hopeful
in Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing
in Genesis. Hopeful doesn't seem to fit too well, because that's a passive idea, basically,
yeah,
too.
And, so.
Okay, Radha is certainly the form. Well, we'll stop. That's the second bell already? All right. Okay. Tomorrow we will take that vocab quiz, the first part of the hour, and the second part of the hour we'll start reviewing. So if you have questions on those suffix endings and so forth, again, we'll get into that. And then after that, we'll resume. Translate.
We have here to trip, as in a wine press, to trip the walk, to break, to tread underfoot, break, or subdue. And the hippie means to cause to rule.
Okay.
And Genesis 1:26 is the Talmud.
What's that?
Kavash is also to tread, okay. There are lots of similar words here. Funny you don't use mashal.
It seems to have more the idea of a real dominion rather than a, you know, overcoming rather than a management, government type of situation.
Right. Smash you down.
Yeah. Trample. Don't let the Sierra Club hear you say that.
All right. Mike, can you use
I didn't read that one though. I didn't stop to look at it because the accent. Here's the accent.
It was really complicated. I didn't follow it.
Yeah. I have to check through this one tomorrow, see if we can find it.
Yeah, they did.